tonight I want to teach the next part of the series entitled The False World Church. I'm going to say some things by way of review, pick up where we left off last week, and continue. As I've stated in the weeks prior, here in Revelation 17, we have the false world church. We have the apostate world church headed up under Rome. We find that Romanism is going to gather into itself the whole of apostate Christendom. Here we find the world church headed up under Rome. Here we find Rome in the driver's seat, or at the helm, so to speak. Now, someone may say, "Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? I think she is called Babylon in verse number 5 because the religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is the religion of Babylon. We find that Romanism is just another form of Babylonianism. Now, in the weeks prior, I have stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon. The beginning of Babylon is recorded for us in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. I stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon. We've already dealt in the weeks prior with these particular chapters, that being Genesis chapters 10 and 11. I stated that we were going to examine this false religious system set up at that time, and that we were going to trace Babylonianism through the Scriptures till we come back here to Revelation chapter 17. And then we would deal with these verses in their entirety. Now, in the weeks prior, I have stated that Babylon was actually ruled over by two individuals. First, there was a man by the name of Nimrod. He's spoken of in Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10. Then second, there was a woman by the name of Samarius. Samarius was Nimrod's wife. We find that Samarius had much to do with this Babylonian religious system. She was deeply involved in this false religious system that was set up at the beginning of Babylon. Now, in the weeks prior, we have already begun pointing out the parallels between Babylonianism and Romanism. And I stated, before we begin pointing those parallels out, I stated that as we point these out, each listener should be able to clearly understand why I made the statement and said that the religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. As we point these parallels out, each listener should clearly understand why that the world church in Revelation chapter 17, headed up under Rome, is called Babylon in verse number 5. My friend, Romanism is just another form of Babylonianism. Now, thus far, we have already pointed out six parallels between Babylonianism and Romanism. I'm going to state these six very briefly at this time, and then we'll move on. The first parallel was this. We find that after the death of Nimrod, Samarius gave birth to a son. She called this son Samarius. We find that she claimed that he was conceived miraculously, that he was born miraculously. We find that he was looked upon as the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. He was looked upon as a savior of his people. We find that after he was born, Samarius made herself and her son the two primary objects of worship in Babylon. So we find that there were two primary objects of worship in Babylon, the mother and her son. The symbol of this Babylonian religious system was the figure of a mother holding her child in her arms. And that same thing is found in the Roman Catholic Church today. We find that in the Roman Catholic Church, there are two primary objects of worship. The mother holding her child in her arms. The second parallel was this. The same woman, Samarius, adopted the title Queen of Heaven. She was called the Queen of Heaven and worshipped as such by her followers. Now, my friend, here's the parallel. Mary in the Roman Catholic Church is also called the Queen of Heaven. This is one of the titles that she is addressed by Roman Catholics.
She is called the Queen of Heaven. When Samaria set herself up as the Queen of Heaven, she presented herself as the way of approach to God. As the way of approach to God is the one who would give life. In the Roman Catholic Church, Mary, presented as the Queen of Heaven, is also set forth as the way of approach to God and as the one that gives life. The third parallel was this. Samaria taught that salvation was administered through her by means of the sprinkling of water. She said, if you want to take perfection of salvation, if you want to be made righteous, you'll let me sprinkle you with water. And my friend, the same thing is taught in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church calls it baptismal regeneration. You see, my friend, the Roman Catholic Church declares that baptism is absolutely necessary for salvation. You see, in doing so, they deny that salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. As a matter of fact, they denounce his dangerous heresy, the doctrine of justification by faith only. The fourth parallel was this. Samaria, the Queen of Heaven, was worshipped as such. And we find that the worshiping of this woman involved the offering of round cakes. Round cakes. Jeremiah talks about this in Jeremiah 7 and in Jeremiah chapter number 44. We find that cakes was offered to the Queen of Heaven. And we find that they were stamped with the letter T. Now actually the letter T is to us the sign or the figure of the cross. Now these same cakes and buns are found in the Roman Catholic Church. They're called hot cross buns. Any Roman Catholic that's listening to me tonight is acquainted with hot cross buns mentioned in connection with Good Friday in the Roman Catholic Church. And we find that those buns have on them, have marked on them and stamped on them the letter T, or in other words, the sign of the cross. The fifth parallel involved the sign of the cross. My friend, the sign of the cross had its origin in Babylon. The sign of the cross was widely used and was popular in Babylon. In Babylon, the sign of the cross was the recognized emblem of Tammuz, the Babylonian savior. And we find that the sign of the cross is very popular among Roman Catholics today. The sign of the cross, crucifixes, and crosses is widely used in the Roman Catholic Church. The sixth parallel was this. In Babylon, we find that a special 40-day period was observed. We find that Samarius, her son Samarius, was supposedly killed. When we find that this announcement was made, we find that the temple virgins in that Babylonian religious system, and I stated last week that these correspond to the nuns found in the Roman Catholic Church, which we'll deal with later. But we'll find that when Samaritan sons and mothers was supposedly killed, and we find that these temple virgins was called upon for a special 40-day period. During this 40-day period, they were to do some things. Number one, they were to fast. Number two, they were to pray in memory of Tammuz. And then thirdly, they were to weep for Tammuz. I read last week in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. Here in these verses, the Word of God speaks about this abominable practice, weeping for Tammuz. And we find that this was a special 40-day period observed in Babylon. And my friend, there's a special 40-day period observed in the Roman Catholic Church, and it's called Lent. And Lent has nothing to do whatsoever with Christ and Christianity
right.
In the Bible. That's so. And we find that just as fasting was required during this 40-day period in Babylon, fasting down to the years has been required of Roman Catholics during this special 40-day period. Now, that's where we close last week. Before I begin with the next parallel between Babylonianism and Romanism that we want to point out, I want to say some other things in connection with this 40-day period that was observed in Babylon. We find that this is a special 40-day period. I dealt with it last week thoroughly and in detail. We find that this was a special 40-day period, And as I stated earlier this evening, during this time, these temple virgins were sufficed. They were to weep with the mouth, and they were to pray. Now listen carefully. They were to pray in memory of the resurrection of Shemuz. Now listen. In Babylon, at the end of this 40-day period, Shemuz was supposedly resurrected from the dead. Listen. At the end of this 40-day period, observed in Babylon, Shemuz was supposedly resurrected from the dead. And no doubt this was a satanic imitation by Satan of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we find that at the end of this 40-day period, Shemuz was supposedly resurrected. And because that he was supposedly resurrected, there was a feast that was proclaimed. There was a feast that was observed. And we find that this feast became an annual feast. It became a feast that was observed every year. It became a feast that was celebrated every year in Babylon at the end of this 40-day period. This annual feast was in memory of the resurrection of Shemuz. This feast was called the Feast of Ishtar. The Feast of Ishtar. Now I want you to listen carefully. In the Roman Catholic Church, there's a special 40-day period observed. It's called Lent. At the end of this 40-day period in the Roman Catholic Church comes Easter. Easter is observed by the Roman Catholics at the end of this 40-day period called Lent. Now I hope that you notice the similarity between the names Easter and Easter. I find it very interesting to know that the word Easter, as we know today, comes from the word Ishtar, the feast that was kept annually in Babylon. And actually, Ishtar was just another name for Shemuz, the Queen of Heaven. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. You might say, preacher, as you say tonight, that Christians should not think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You might say, preacher, are you saying that Christians should not make much of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? No, I'm not. Certainly I'm not. I think Christians should think much concerning the resurrection of Christ. Christians should study much concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'll read the book of Acts, you'll find that the apostles, you'll find that the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that they did. I mean, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was one of the primary things preached by the apostles. You couldn't listen to Peter preach long without hearing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You couldn't hear John preach long without hearing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You couldn't hear Paul preach long without talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These men preached the resurrection of Christ. And I might say this right here. I find it disturbing. It disturbs me to know that in many so-called fundamental churches throughout the land today, the only time you hear the resurrection of Christ preached on is during the Easter season.
Right.
That ought not to be. I'm afraid. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, preach the word the instant in season. Now, when Paul said that, he wasn't telling Timothy just to preach on resurrection of Christ at Easter time and to preach on the virgin birth at Christmas time and be a seasonal preacher. In that sense, he wasn't telling him that. I'm afraid that too many preachers today have become too seasonal in their preaching, and they preach messages according to the seasons on the calendar instead of messages laid on their heart by the Spirit of God. I believe that. That ought not to be. So I'm not saying that Christians should not make much of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is much involved with the event called Easter today that has nothing to do with the Bible and Christianity.
Right.
There are various things and practices carried on with what we call Easter today that have nothing to do with Christ or Christianity.
Right. Yeah.
See, preacher, what are you talking about? I could deal with various things, but I'll deal with one thing right here. During the time of Easter, during the Easter season, Easter eggs are emphasized. Have you ever asked yourself why? During the Easter season, Easter eggs are emphasized. Eggs are bought, they're common, they're hid, they're exchanged during the Easter season. Why is it? Surely it has nothing to do with Bible, with the Bible or Christianity.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll tell you why. It came out of Babylon.
Right.
We find that at the end of this 40-day period, Tammuz was supposedly resurrected from the dead. And then Babylonians, they looked upon the egg as the symbol of life out of death. They set aside the egg as being sacred to Tammuz. We find that on that annual feast, the feast of Easter in Babylon, we find that eggs was emphasized, eggs was exchanged, just as they are today. That's why we have eggs involved with what we call Easter today. Now, while dealing with occasions, while dealing with well-known occasions, I might as well say a few things concerning Christmas at this time. Christmas is one of the major festivals of the Roman Catholic Church. Christmas is also believed to be a Babylonian origin. Well, so it is. During the Christmas season, you'll hear the terms Yule Day. You'll hear the term Yuletide greetings. You'll hear the term Yuletide season. My friend, the word Yule is of Chaldean origin. Or Chaldean, my friend, is a language that was spoken in Babylon. That's a Babylonian word. Why is the word Yule so popular during the Christmas season? It's because that many things involved with what we know today as Christmas came straight out of Babylon. That's right. Now listen. In Babylon on March the 25th was observed as a special day in Babylon. March the 25th. This day was observed in honor of the mother of the Babylonian Savior. Being Samaritan, of course, the Queen of Heaven. In Babylon, March the 25th was looked upon and observed in honor of the mother of the Babylonian Savior. March the 25th was looked upon as the day that the supposed miraculous conception of Tammuz took place. They looked upon March the 25th as the day that his conception took place. Now listen to me. In the Roman Catholic Church today, March the 25th is observed as a special day. You listen? March the 25th, just as it was in Babylon. My opinion, the Roman Catholic Church, March the 25th is observed as a special day. It's called Lady Day. Lady Day. And I'm not going to deal with it tonight, but the word lady and that word Lady Day ties in with one of the names of Samarius, the Babylonian Queen of Heaven. But my friend, Lady Day is on the Popish calendar, and it's March the 25th. And the Roman Catholics observe this day in memory of the angels announcement to Mary concerning the miraculous conception and birth of Jesus Christ. Now listen, that was on March the 25th in Babylon. A woman carries a child or a baby for 9 months. 9 months from March the 25th is December the 25th. On December the 25th, Tammuz was born in Babylon. I mean, on December the 25th, Tammuz who is looked upon as a savior of his people. He was born in Babylon. And each year in Babylon, December the 25th, was a grand celebration.
Yes, sir. Every year, December the 25th, every year his birthday was celebrated in a grand way, in a great way. December the 25th was Tammuz's birthday. Now listen to me. We believe that Jesus Christ could very well not have been born on December the 25th. I mean, as I stand here tonight, I've listened to many good men preach in the past, all the men of God, men that studied carefully and closely the Word of God. And the majority of these men that have, they do not believe that Jesus was born during December. They believe that Jesus Christ was born during sometime the month of September, and that's the same thing I believe. Now, I have reasons for believing that, reasons according to the Scriptures. I'm not going to deal with all those tonight. It would take too much time, and we haven't got that much time this evening. But let me say this. During the first century, Jesus Christ being born on December the 25th was not talked about. During the second century, Jesus Christ being born on December the 25th was not talked about. It was during the first century. The first mention of Jesus Christ being born on December the 25th was in the 3rd century. And listen, as far as we know, to the best of our knowledge, the apostles never observed a day called Christmas. And Christmas was not observed as a ritual of the church until the 4th century. And my friend, the Roman Catholic Church had its beginning in the 4th century. Let me say this while I'm dealing with birthdays. To the best of my understanding, the saints in the long ago never celebrated their own birthday. They never celebrated the birthday of anyone. You'll not find any saint in the Word of God, anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances, celebrating someone's birthday. You don't find that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it was their death day that was remembered. As you travel throughout the land, you come in contact with dates and with days in connection with some of the well-known saints of God in the past. And my friend, if you'll check carefully, most of these dates and days, they do not refer to the time that these saints were born, but they refer to their death day. Their death day. And I might say this as well tonight. The world loves Christmas. Christmas is popular with the world. The world goes after Christmas head over heels. Now listen, my friend, anything that the world goes after, you better examine it carefully. Why is it that the Japanese, the Chinese, and the Indians observe December the 25th, and they do not even profess to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior? Why is that? Even the communists, they don't have any objection to Santa Claus. In Russia, his name has just changed to Grandfather Frost. Now, I'm going to say this right here as well, before we move on, I forget it. You know Santa Claus has another name. You know what that name is? It's Saint Nicholas. You listen? Saint Nicholas. You know as well as I know, as we sit in this building tonight, who is popular, who is well known for calling individuals Saint this and Saint that. Roman Catholic Church. A Dutch Catholic bishop is the man for whom St. Nicholas is named.
Let me say this in connection with Christmas. I kind of have the idea that there's a lot of people in the United States tonight that doesn't know this. Did you know that at one time in the United States of America, it was a person called found observing Christmas was fined? Did you know that? Did you know that there used to be a fine against observing Christmas? The Christians that came to America, the early settlers, they refused to observe Christmas. They called it a popish day. We find that it was the German Catholics who were largely responsible for bringing to America the Christmas tree and the other rituals that's involved with Christmas. The first real German Catholic Christmas that took place in America took place in Trenton, New Jersey, in December of 1776. And it was on Christmas Eve, in December of 1776. It was on Christmas Eve, while this crowd was celebrating and getting themselves into a drunken fit, that General George Washington and some others crossed the Delaware and went on to victory. That's right. Did you know that Christmas did not attain legal status in the state of Georgia till 1856? That's really not all that long ago. Now, there's a lot of things in connection with Christmas that we could deal with tonight. I could deal with kissing under the mistletoe. That came straight out of Babylon. I could deal with the reindeer. I could deal with the gifts under the tree. But I'm not going to deal with those things. I will deal with one thing, and that's one thing that most of us is acquainted with, popular with, and that's the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree. Now, we find that Christmas is observed during the time of the year that the evergreen tree is emphasized. Christmas is observed during the time of the year that the evergreen tree stands out and looks different than all other trees. Christmas is observed during the time of the year when all the other trees have been stripped of their leaves, when they look bare. We find that the evergreen tree stands out and is looked upon as a symbol of life during the winter season. A symbol of life. Now listen, in December, in the month of December in Babylon, on December the 25th, was Tammuz's birthday, and we find, my friend, that he was looked upon as supposedly being resurrected from the dead. And the evergreen tree was looked upon as a symbol of life. And it was a symbol of Tammuz and Jesus' birthday. That evergreen tree was emphasized and prominently displayed all throughout Babylon. Turn your Bible for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, I want to read some verses here in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Word of God says this: "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." God's dealing with the way of the heathen here. Notice what he says: "And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain." They're vain, they're empty, they're void, they're profitless. "For the customs of the people are vain, for one cometh a queen." Now look at this carefully. God's referring here to the way of the heathen. He's referring here to a practice that came straight out of Babylon. "For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fashion it with nails and with hammers, that it move not."
God here is referring to the way of the heathen, a practice that came out of Babylon. This was practiced during the month of December, when Timotheus' birthday was celebrated.
Amen.
That's as far as we're going tonight with the series entitled The False World Church. The next time the Lord allows us to meet, if He does, we'll deal with the next parallel that I want to point out between Romanism and Babylonianism, or I should say Babylonianism and Romanism. If you do your best to be here, I'm going to deal next time with the parallel concerning the priestly order found in the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm going to deal with the confessional box, the practice of confessional found in the Roman Catholic Church, and you do your best to be here.